Well, even if you don't golf, you may not golf, you probably have seen the movie Caddyshack, or you certainly know something about it. We thought it might be kind of a fun way to open the show today as we talk about golf. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Our guest is Rob Jansen. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. We'll talk with him about what's being done to keep golfers and course personnel safe. We'll also take a look at what's going on with tournaments and other events, and certainly take your questions and comments as we move along today. Do you have any thoughts about the safety of the golf courses or play on the golf courses? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Rob Jansen, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me, and appreciate the Caddyshack music there. That was fun.
Well, kind of a fun movie, a lot of fun movie. I don't know how many times I've seen it, but I've been golfing for a long, long time in my pretty much my whole lifetime, and so it was one of those movies that you gotta enjoy and laugh, even if you're not a golfer, I think. Tell us about the Wisconsin State Golf Association. It's been around a long time.
Yeah, so we've been around since 1901. We're a nonprofit organization, really just to promote and preserve the game of golf throughout the state, do what we can to support courses, provide benefits and services to members and golfers around the state. We're probably, you know, most visibly known for the golf tournaments and competitions that we typically run. This season's going to look quite a bit different, obviously. Yeah. And as well as for maintaining the handicap system, kind of your numeric ability of your numeric indicator of your golf ability to allow you to compete with buddies on the golf course.
Yeah, that handicap system is really great. Because it levels the playing field a little bit. Maybe talk about, for those who aren't familiar with the handicap system, maybe explain that.
Yeah, no, the beauty of golf is that you really can compete against anybody on any course and do it in an equitable manner through the handicap system. The easiest way to explain it is, let's say I'm playing a match against Tiger Woods. You know, Tiger Woods would have a golf handicap. His would be quite good. And my handicap is quite a bit higher. So, you know, let's say on average, Tiger would beat me by maybe 30 shots. Well, you know, if we play our match and he only beats me by 28, I would probably win because I did better than I was expected to do against him. Now, if he beats me by 40 shots, then he would obviously win the match, and he's played much better than expected, or I played much worse than I expected. But, yeah, it's just a neat way to allow people to compete fairly against each other and enjoy some time on the golf course.
You know, you keep track of hole-in-one reporting, too. I've had two circumstances in my life, one at Whistling Straits and another at a Madison course, where the ball only needed another maybe half a revolution of the ball. It was leaning over the hole, but I didn't get a hole in one. Oh,
yeah, no dice on that one, Larry. Sorry.
Well, it was a gimme putt for sure.
Boy, yeah, I was going to say, if your playing partners didn't give you that one, that's a tough route.
Oh, how often? So my father-in-law, Herb Stouty, got in a hole-in-one at his home course. But how often does it actually happen? You guys keep records of it, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We have a nice program where we provide a certificate to any golfer who records a hole-in-one here in Wisconsin during the golf season. You know, we get a couple hundred a year maybe. So with all the golfers in the state and all of our great courses and a lot of rounds being played, you know, we do see a fair amount of them come into our office, and great to be able to recognize that achievement with a nice certificate.
Yeah, I can tell you that my father-in-law has that certificate framed.
That's great.
On the wall, so it means a lot to anybody who gets one. Well, COVID-19 has affected a lot of businesses. And certainly the courses were affected in April. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster a couple weeks for the golf industry, to say the least. You know, we had a pretty nice spring weather-wise, you know, which usually is very beneficial for courses to get off to a good start financially. And we had courses opening up in March already, pre-COVID-19, and had some revenue coming in, some rounds being played at their course, people out enjoying that nice weather. And then obviously with COVID-19, the initial safer at home order shut down courses, I believe on March 24th or 25th. And, you know, they were shut down for a month until April 24th. And the new order that came out that allowed courses to open back up with quite a few restrictions and safety requirements. Now the courses are back open. It's been great to see the response from courses and golfers implementing these guidelines, making the game safer for people to come out and enjoy and get some fresh air and do something that they enjoy to do. So, but yeah, it's been a interesting couple of weeks to say the least. And for such a seasonal business like golf courses are in Wisconsin, to lose a month of their season is, you know, something that presents quite a challenge to them.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the hotel business. There's no, if you don't book a room on a particular night, that's gone forever. And if you don't book it, if a tea time goes unfilled, that's gone forever. There's not really a way to make that up.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of businesses are being impacted and continue to be impacted. You know, it's, I think the golf industry is grateful that, you know, it's always been kind of a game of social distancing. It's always been a pretty safe game, and, you know, one that's been made even safer now with some of the new requirements. So, you know, what we've seen so far is people, you know, coming out to play and, you know, feeling pretty safe doing it. And, you know, a lot of great things that courses are doing to keep the golfers at their courses safe.
Yeah. Talk about some of the things. I experienced them over this, you know, a couple of days ago when I was out at Yahara Hills Golf Course in Madison. I felt pretty darn safe. But talk about basically how these rules are set up.
Yeah, so the order dictates a few things that courses have to do and have to follow, things like paying for your round online or over the phone. Golf carts can now be rented, but only one rider in a cart. You can't have two people that aren't from the same household riding in a cart together. Maintaining that physical distancing throughout the round. Driving ranges are still closed just to eliminate a touch point and something that staff has to kind of maintain and provide the balls and, you know, clean things and set it up daily. So, you know, that's something that is not a part of the experience currently. Clubhouses and pro shops remain closed. So, you know, other than for some limited food and beverage and to use the bathrooms, you know, people aren't to go into the clubhouses and, you know, pro shops are closed, so you can't go and, you know, browse and look for merchandise. But, you know, you've already paid for your round, so, you know, you don't need to check in when you get there. You can just go right to the tee and start playing. And then also greater spacing of the tee time. So just to prevent any places that could cause a gathering of people either starting the round or out there on the course. You know, the starting times have been spaced further apart just to keep golfers even more spaced out than they already are. So just a lot of really, you know, good, smart precautions. And then beyond that, you know, courses have adopted a lot of best practices, you know, beyond what's in the order just to keep their golfers safe. Things like removing anything on the golf course that could be touched, you know, a ball washer, a box with scorecards and pencils. The rakes on the golf course have typically been removed by the bunker, so you're not picking up the rake and raking your footprints after you hit out of a bunker and then put that down and somebody else touches that. So those are things that courses haven't been required to do but have just adopted on their own as best practices to keep everybody safe.
Yeah. You know, as I was thinking about it, we were commenting, the golfers I was playing with, on pace of play. And I have to tell you, lengthening out the tee times between groups actually made for, I think, a better experience than sometimes is the case.
Yeah,
because we were able to play along, and you really didn't. You really were way away from the people in front of you and behind you.
Yeah, it's something that I've heard from a few people that that's been the case, and that's great. One of the frequent complaints of golfers is anytime that there is poor pace of play and golfers waiting on the group in front of them to clear the green or clear the fairway so they can hit their shot. So, yeah, one of the nice benefits of this additional spacing is a safety precaution is, you know, possibly an improved golfer experience and better pace of play. And if everybody does play faster than maybe they typically would have because of that, then that could make up for any potential lost revenue for courses of having tee time spaced out a little bit more. And maybe that's something that some courses continue to implement even when they don't have to.
Yeah, I think it was a great idea, to be honest. Well, let's take some calls. Mike in Wauwatosa, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lair. So I think that it's great, all the extra precautions that the golf courses are taking, and I think it's completely sensible. But I also think that people should be encouraged, actually, to start getting outdoors and moving around more outside because I'm not a doctor, but I recall from biology that sunlight kills most viruses that are airborne. So as long as there isn't, you know, physical contact or sharing of beverages, you know, I think this would actually help the situation.
No? Well, what do you think, Rob?
Yeah, obviously I'm not a doctor, but I would certainly agree sunlight is a great thing to be outside and get some sunlight and some fresh air and some exercise. And, you know, we think if people can be outside safely and, you know, if that does have positive benefits, you know, regarding the virus, great. I certainly don't know if that's the case or not myself, but I can say without a doubt that I feel better after I get outside in a little sunlight and play around the golf. So at least, you know, if people feel better, I think that's a good thing.
You know, I've got an app on my phone, Map My Run, and I usually put that on when I start a round of golf. Just because it's fun to see the places I've walked around the course. The courses, it's interesting when you look at the diagram afterwards. But also, when I've walked, if you play 9 holes of golf, you're going to walk 3 miles almost always. And if you play 18 holes, you've done a 6-mile walk. Pushing a bag of golf clubs around and swinging maybe 70, 80 times. In my case,
90,
more than 80.
90 times for some.
90 is a little more like it for me, but it's pretty darn good exercise.
Yeah, no, great exercise. I like to track my steps as well. And some rounds when I play better, my steps are lower because I think I'm in the middle of the fairway more and walking in straight lines. And other rounds, I'm walking quite a bit more steps as I do a little bit more side to side out there on the golf course.
Chris and Adams, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I own 1/2 acre, and I'm going to in the Central Sands, and I'm going to great lengths to dig up all of my turf and plant it for pollinators. And I've gone to great lengths not to pick up my leaves, and we're doing a no-mow May so that the pollinators get to come out. Golf courses are among the most toxic places in Wisconsin. They use a lot of pesticides and herbicides and a lot of gasoline, keeping that turf the way it is designed to play the game. And I think that people should just think about that when they want to get out. There's lots of other kinds of exercise you can get, go walk in the woods. You don't have to, like, go out to a golf course. And until they get their act together in terms of stopping doing all that stuff, and I don't know how it's possible, because that wonderful green turf comes at a price for nature.
Well, Chris, thank you for calling, and you probably heard comments like that. Rob, how do you respond to those comments?
Yeah, certainly things that pop up from time to time, and, you know, appreciate any concerns that people do have. You know, I would just say that You know, the golf industry's been a leader in a lot of ways in research and best practices and taking every precaution possible, you know, to ensure that, you know, no damage is being done to the ecosystem. And, you know, being a good steward of the, you know, the land that the golf courses are on and, you know, doing the best they possibly can, you know, with that. So, you know, not a TERP expert, but there's a lot of really smart, talented people and a lot of great research that's being done to, you know, limit the use of any chemicals on the golf course to as little as possible.
Yeah. And I think the open spaces, there are a lot of programs that are set up to sort of reward golf courses for their environmental approach to golf.
Yeah. No, it's something that, you know, I think people would be surprised just how serious the industry, you know, takes those concerns and all the great work is being done to mitigate those concerns. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, great research and things that have been written about it. The USGA does a lot of great work through their green section. And, you know, the industry is seeing a shift away from kind of lush and green and the use of chemicals to, you know, more of a natural look and, you know, something that I think golfers will come to appreciate, courses playing, you know, more as they were intended, a little firmer, a little faster. You might see a little bit more kind of brown hues and whatnot on courses, but, you know, that just means they're, you know, healthier in some ways and, you know, aren't as many chemicals and other things being, you know, used to, you know, make things artificially green.
Rob Jansen, our guest today. Rob is the executive director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. Great to have him with us today to talk about Wisconsin golf. Give us an update. You may have a question or comment. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Jane Rotunda, our on-air producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Taking a look at Wisconsin golf today on the Ideas Network with Rob Jansen, executive director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining in today. Questions or comments for him, give a call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Listener called in, couldn't stay online, but wonders, what's the cost of playing golf this year? Is it higher because of the coronavirus?
I haven't heard anything specifically of cost being higher. You know, we're still early in the season, and a lot of courses have spring or early season rates available. I know at some of the top courses in the state, you know, they have their best rates of the year going on right now. So I don't suspect that'll happen. You know, I think the demand will dictate the price in some cases. And we know a lot of courses have been very busy, given some, you know, reduced capacity with some of the guidelines and spaced out tee times. So, you know, it's all being done very safely, obviously, but I know a lot of courses have had, you know, full tee sheets, you know, with their proper spacing and, you know, been very busy that way. So, you know, I really don't expect that golfers will see prices much higher on average than they have in any other season.
No, I don't think so either. You know, I play, I every year I play in a golf tournament in Saskatchewan, Canada, and near the end of May, and of course that was canceled. And tournaments are a big part of golf in Wisconsin. I play on quite a few that are fundraiser types, but tournaments, I'm sure, from your point of view, have been severely impacted and affected.
Yeah, this would typically be our first week of tournament play. I think our first event was scheduled for tomorrow, actually. And yeah, to date, given COVID-19, we've canceled all of our competitive tournaments through June 6th so far. You know, obviously waiting further direction from the state and updates to the Safer at Home order. And, you know, kind of see where that leaves us in a couple weeks. You know, we're optimistic that we'll still be able to conduct a portion of our tournament schedule at some point this year. We might have to run them a little differently than we typically have to make sure we're following all the guidelines, and probably not going to be able to do any shotgun starts where everybody gathers at the same time and goes out to their assigned hole and then tees off at the same time. You know, we're anticipating any events that we do run potentially having to be done with, you know, tee times and properly spaced, et cetera. Now these guidelines could change as we progress through the summer and hopefully get some positive news regarding the virus, and we'll obviously adapt accordingly. But yeah, sadly, we've had to cancel quite a few events already just to make sure we're doing the right thing and keeping everybody safe, our players, staff, volunteers included.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for sure. And the courses seem to be, at least the ones that I've noticed, are in pretty good shape this spring.
Yeah, that's another silver lining of the challenges the industry's had to face. But with no golfers on the course for several weeks early on in the season, and courses still being allowed to provide some, you know, minimum basic maintenance to the facilities, they've been in fantastic shape as they've opened up here. So I think golfers have really enjoyed probably the best April and May conditions they've maybe ever seen in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's really good. And we have, how many courses do we have in the state? Do you know offhand?
We have right around 500, you know, golf facilities throughout the state, you know, including resorts and 9 holes and 18 hole courses, par 3 courses. We're right about 500.
Yeah. We've had, I don't know how many closings we've had over the past few years, but probably a few. I'm not even sure, but it's worth mentioning or talking about. What are there have been courses closed in the last few years. Maybe we overbuilt.
Yeah, that's kind of the prevailing thought. You know, back to what they call the Tiger Woods boom. A lot of new courses were being built as golf's popularity increased and more golfers were coming into the game. Courses probably were overbuilt. And, you know, as golf came down a little bit from its unsustainable peak there in terms of, you know, number of golfers and whatnot, you know, there were probably a few too many courses, not by much, but, you know, just like any industry or activity, you know, there was just kind of a natural correction to, you know, sync up supply and demand a little bit. And we've probably seen a net decrease in courses over the last few years. But we've also had some new course openings like Sand Valley and Central Wisconsin. So that's been great to see some active golf development. But yeah, unfortunately, we have seen some closures. We've seen a couple closures directly related to COVID-19 this year. And, you know, some courses that were already, you know, operating with pretty thin margins just really couldn't take any additional financial hit. And, you know, being forced to close down for that period, you know, forced them to close down their doors for good this year.
Yeah. Paul in Rib Mountain, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Paul. Thank you for calling.
Hey, you didn't mention weekly golf leagues. Are they allowed?
Weekly golf leagues. Are they allowed? I think, well, I know for sure, at least the league that I'm in is going to be allowed to play. But Rob, in general, how's that gone?
Yeah, there's no, you know, specific restrictions against golf league play. You know, I think any leagues that were conducted with a shotgun start where everybody's, you know, going out to their hole and starting at the same time would need to be adjusted to tee time starts and make sure to comply with all the guidelines in the current order. But yeah, there should be ways to, you know, smartly and safely conduct, you know, league plays with courses being back open.
Yeah, I don't think there's any problems there. Well, I'm wondering, you've been talking about numbers of golfers and so forth. I'm a lifetime member of the First Tee program. and it's a program to get youngsters involved. Is the Wisconsin State Golf Association have direct or indirect involvement with the First Tee program?
We do. So our office is in West Allis, and we operate out of a shared office space with several other golf associations, like the Wisconsin PGA, the Golf Course Owners of Wisconsin, and the local First Tee chapter is also housed here in West Allis. So we have a great relationship with our local chapter here, and work with them on a couple things throughout the year. There's a few other First Tee chapters throughout the state that we also support and do what we can to help out. But yeah, it's a great program. It's doing a great job of bringing kids into the game. But it's about more than golf at the First Tee. It's about teaching kids life skills and values through the game of golf that they can take with them, wherever life takes them. So yeah, we've really seen a lot of neat success stories come out of our First Tee chapters here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I watched my daughter Emily was involved in the program from the time she was pretty young. And just the talking about rules and rule adherence and etiquette, I think kids learn an awful lot in a program like that.
Yeah, they really do. Obviously, I think golf is a great game, and it's a game you can play for a lifetime. So to bring kids in at a young age and introduce them to the game while also teaching them some other great skills and values that are going to help them in other sports and in school, just in how they interact with others. We think it's, just a tremendous combination to pair the game of golf, with these values that the kids are being taught.
What is the Wisconsin State Golf Association doing to help courses attract more people?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's an ongoing, topic that we continue to work on. We do quite a few different things to help our courses market themselves. We publish a monthly digital golf magazine to promote courses and all the golf news going on throughout the state. Once a year in the spring, we publish a print publication, the Wisconsin Golf Yearbook and Course Directories, which we mail and share widely and available at visitor centers throughout Wisconsin. So people coming into the state who are interested in golf can pick up a copy and see all the great golf courses and where they're located and some basic information about them. And then, we also have a great website with a ton of information about our golf courses, interactive directories. You can, see an overhead view of the course. You can take a course tour and some other, neat things that we're able to do, to try to promote our courses year round, through different, channels and things that are available.
Yeah, it's a really good site for sure. There's a lot of good information on it. Amy in Milwaukee emailed and wanted to know, what are the golf guidelines for having a caddy?
Right now, caddies in the traditional sense aren't allowed under the order. That's somebody kind of walking, right with you, carrying your bag. That obviously presents, quite a few challenges from a social distancing standpoint and shared things that can be touched. There's a lot of creative solutions that are being worked on to try to, potentially bring caddies back in a safe manner. All the things you'd expect, gloves and masks and, how the spacing can still be accomplished throughout the course. We're seeing some courses shift traditional caddies to what are called four caddies, more of a social distancing guide through the course that stays well ahead of you, helps look for your golf ball. If you happen to not find the fairway, you have some help out there to help spot your ball for you and stay ahead of play and just assist the players as they navigate through their round. So that's another thing that's being done to find creative ways to help people throughout their round while maintaining social distancing. caddying in its traditional sense does present, you know, a few challenges that are still being worked on.
Steve in Wausau has something for us. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, just you know, the fun rounds of golf that we play, you could even maybe make some special rules up for league play. But one was ready golf. In other words, if someone's deciding to take a shot but doesn't quite know how to what he wants to do and wants to really look it over, if even though you're beyond them, you can go and hit your ball as long as it's safe. And the other one was you hit the ball from the tee and you get that lost ball as you just talked about. And if you don't have a four caddy out there, you all agree about where it went. You don't go back to the tee. You just hit the ball from where you thought it was lost and take the penalty there. So those are my two comments on speeding up play a little bit during this time period.
Yeah, Steve, thanks. And that's something, the couple of things that he mentioned there are something that you often see in league play for sure, but there's be no way reason why it couldn't be used by other sort of, you know, non-professional type golfers. Would you agree with that, Rob?
Yeah, for sure. We always encourage ready golf, you know, in recreational play, even in tournament play, just to keep play moving. You know, if one player's ready and another player's not, for them to go ahead and play if they can play safely and, you know, don't have another player in their way, we absolutely encourage that. And, you know, one of the new rules is the golf rules have been updated and revised recently, you know, allows for somebody who does lose a ball under a local rule that can be put in place by a course or, you know, by a league, you know, it allows you to, you know, kind of drop your ball where around where you think it was lost and, you know, continue on with your round without having to go all the way back to the tee and play again. So, you know, that's been a beneficial rule from a pace of play standpoint.
Yeah, I think so as well. I also like the rule about leaving the stick in. The new rule, well, relatively new rule at least, may save a little time and all in all make for a better game. Rob, it's been a great pleasure talking with you today. I really appreciate you taking time to talk with us about golf in Wisconsin. I hope we have a chance to do it again. Maybe I'll see you on the course.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, Larry. Always good to talk to a fellow golfer, and glad you've been able to get out and enjoy some golf here recently, and hope you have more rounds to come this summer.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Jansen, Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. We're going to continue our discussion on golf by talking with WPR sports reporter Megan Hart. So we're going to take a look at what's happening with the Ryder Cup set to be played in Wisconsin this year and what she's heard from some of the state's golf course owners. So we'll turn to Megan. Megan, are you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Good to hear your voice. Oh, man. You recently talked with some Wisconsin golf owners for a story. What were their thoughts on keeping their courses safe?
Yeah, you know, I talked to a few different golf course owners who did a lot of the things that Rob mentioned as far as, you know, minimizing the number of things on the courses that people are touching. I talked to one that's working to get a digital system set up for the first time so people can book tee times and pay for them online. So they, you know, they had to take a really active role in preparing for this season. But they, you know, from what I've heard, the response has been really strong from golfers looking to get out. And I think, you know, they were mostly just kind of hopeful that golfers would follow all the rules that have been put in place so that they can continue to operate because, you know, it seems like there's a lot of demand. Actually, I spoke to the golf director over at Kohler, which is supposed to host the Ryder Cup later this year, and he said that they had so much demand at their reservations desk that they actually reopened one of their hotels there. So a lot of people want to get out and golf.
For sure. And the Ryder Cup I have tickets for that Ryder Cup event.
You're lucky. you're one of the lucky ones. Those sold out in like an hour. So, a lot of people, I think, are really interested to see what happens.
Well, yeah. So, So the Ryder Cup, for those who aren't familiar with the event, maybe you could talk about what it is.
Yeah, so it happens every other year, and it's basically a showdown between the United States and European golfers, and it's a really fun, exciting event that kind of takes on a different tone from other major golf events. And one of, you know, the really appealing aspects is that fans have such a vested rooting interest, you know, on either side. And so, of course, one of the things that the PGA has talked about is playing, they're going to start playing events actually next month without fans is the plan. And so, one of the ideas that's been thrown out there is playing the Ryder Cup without fans. And that would be really strange.
Yeah, that would be really, really strange. I wonder, and of course this year we've got a kind of a local interest relating to the Ryder Cup, if I'm not mistaken, with Steve Stricker.
Yeah, we do. So it's a big year for Wisconsin. Actually, before I started working at Wisconsin Public Radio, I worked at the Sheboygan Press. And so I would always drive by this billboard, and it had the Ryder Cups on there, and it had Paris, Sheboygan, Rome, New York City. And I always felt so cool because, you know, Sheboygan's not a big city, and to be in that company was really great, you know, to have the honor of hosting the Ryder Cup here and have Steve Stricker as the team, the American team's captain. So, you know, of course, I think so many people here are hoping that the Ryder Cup will be able to take place, and ideally to be able to take place with fans, because it would just be a great year for Wisconsin golf.
Yeah, and it's usually what I'm trying to remember the dates now.
It's scheduled for September 25th to 27th. Right. But kind of the crazy thing is the PGA, of course, has had to shuffle their schedule because of coronavirus. And so the U.S. Open, which was scheduled for June at Winged Foot in New York, is actually now supposed to take place the week before the Ryder Cup. So that's kind of weird. And then the Masters has been moved to November. So it's the rest of the golf season is going to look very different than it would in a normal year. But if you're a golf fan, it'll be an exciting time.
Yeah, it will indeed. Well, you've been working on some other stories regarding how the COVID-19 has affected other sports. Tell us what's happening. Oh, how about minor league baseball?
Yeah, I'm working on a story now about how it's affecting players and teams. And of course, you know, something like the Ryder Cup, it would be unfortunate if there weren't fans, but a lot of people watch it on television. So, you know, maybe financially it still makes sense to play it. You know, minor league baseball doesn't have lucrative TV deals. And so it's a hard time for minor league sports teams. I talked to one minor league team here in Wisconsin that was able to take advantage of the Paycheck Protection Program loans, but you know, a lot of them are doing, in, you know, trying to come up with creative ways to make some money and keep people on payroll working. I now live in Green Bay, and we have a Northwoods League team here called the Booyah. And so a couple weeks ago, I picked up a to-go meal from the stadium. They were doing two quarts of Booyah and a growler of beer. So they're figuring things out, but, it's also a really, it's a tough time for so many people, but for minor league baseball players, you know, with no college season, and the Major League Baseball, its annual draft is usually 40 rounds. It's going to be very condensed this year to only 5 or 10. So, you know, I think there's probably a lot of young players who are worried that they're not going to get maybe the opportunity that they were expecting coming out of high school or, you know, coming out of college. So, of course, we're still waiting to see what happens. You know, we don't know when the season might be able to start, but it is, like so many other areas, the coronavirus has really touched the world of sports.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking about the Big Ten. The Big Ten has set up a new emerging infectious disease task force. Are you aware of that?
I spoke a couple of weeks ago, I guess now, to Dr. Chris Cradiville from he works at the University of Nebraska, and he is the chair of the task force. And, you know, he has said that the Big Ten was really proactive, and, you know, they actually started it before even the basketball tournaments were canceled in March. And it's not a decision-making body, but you know, they do offer recommendations. They were consulted about canceling those winter sports tournaments. And so he said that they're, you know, right now they're a long way off from making any recommendations about when sports can come back. It's really more like, will kids even be able to go to class on campus this fall? So,
Believe me, I know, as a professor who teaches classes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's unsettling time for professors, too.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So really, the Big Ten today extended their suspension of organized team activities through June 1st. But really, when you're talking about these universities, the most important thing is, you know, when can classes get back to normal? And then, you know, he said you have to look at when can athletes start training again and when can they start practicing in groups again? And then when then you can start thinking about games. So I know some, you know, professional sports are maybe getting closer to a start date, but it looks like it could be a while before college.
Well, Megan, it's always fun talking with you. Thanks. You'll come back and be with us again.
Thank you.
Megan Hart, our guest today, sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Always fun talking with her about what she's up to and what's going on in the world of sports in Wisconsin. Speaking of that, we're going to continue our sports programming today and talk with you about another kind of golf. It's called disc golf, and we'll learn about that next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.